Welcome to the Wise Money Show with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Get your questions ready and send them to wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Questions about finances, long-term care, insurance, and everything that goes along with preparing for the next phase of your life. Gar and Leanne Lenander have the answer. Email your questions to wisemoney@klbbradio.com or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. And now it's Wise Money on KLBB with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial Services.
Welcome to the Wise Money Show. This is Leanne and Garwin Lenander. We've got a couple of things we're going to talk about today. Something that's kind of interesting, kind of unusual, and then I'm going to let Leanne talk a little bit about investments. One of my clients came to me, and he said, I'm retiring. I've got a life, and I'm talking to him about some, better have some life insurance. Well, I got some life insurance at work. Okay, that's good. He said, I don't think I need any more. Okay, that's your decision to make. But I said, what have you got? So he had a little term, which he's going to lose, of course. But he had a whole life, a participating whole life.
Which is what?
Which is one that has dividends and paid-up additions. And he's had it for umpteen years. I don't even remember how many years. And so I said, well, let me look and see what you've got. And so he gave me a statement and said that he had almost $51,000 of death benefit with $31,000 of cash. And I said, well, leveraging-wise, that's not a real good deal, but okay. He said, I don't want to pay any more premiums. And I said, I understand that. He's retired now. But I said, what I would do is I'd write to the company and I'd ask them, what will they give you as a paid-up single premium policy?
In other words, what they're going to do is just say, this $31,000 will buy this much life insurance and you don't have to pay anymore.
Correct. All done. So this goes off, and 2 weeks later, he gets a letter back saying they're going to give him a $51,000 policy. And I'm looking at that and saying, wait. He's already got a $51,000 policy.
So it's not going to change.
It's not going to change. They're just going to give him, they're going to take his cash, and they're going to give him his $50,000 policy back. Well, in the meantime, I'd had some numbers run. The numbers came back anywhere from $140,000 of death benefit down to about $60,000. Obviously, you know, each one does a little different thing. The $140,000 eat up all the cash. He's got to have no cash, but he'd have a death benefit forever.
Now, that when you're saying forever, his whole life.
His whole life. Whenever he dies, they're going to pay $140,000 of death benefit. Some of them would say, well, one of the companies will give him $100,000 of death benefit, but continue his cash pretty close to what he's got. And then some of them are basically what he's got. So he's got some options, but the question is, obviously, I don't know what he's going to do because we're just running through. But I was just appalled that $31,000, they wouldn't give him some extra death benefit.
I don't think people realize that when they build cash within a policy, at a certain point in time, there's a crossover.
That's right.
And consequently, there's something you can do with that cash besides just let it sit there, because if there's a death, you're not going to get the death benefit plus the cash.
No.
You'll just get the death benefit.
You got $31,000 of your own cash, and they've only really got literally $20,000 of death benefit.
Now, the other thing that the person could do is they can use that cash to do something else besides life insurance.
Absolutely. He could pull that money out, but there's a cautionary tale that you've got to talk about that. Let's say that he's straight to the company and says, give me my $31,000. Then the question is, how much did he put into that contract? And I'm going to pick a number. Let's assume that he's put in $18,310. Oh, let's make it $18,000, make it simple. He has now got a gain of $13,000 that he is going to have to declare as income.
Unless he transfers it to another kind of
policy.
Unless
he transfers it to another life insurance contract, and which I know he's not going to want to pay taxes on. Another $11,000 or $12,000 of gain.
Now, I'm going to throw something else in here. if someone does not have long-term care, they could even use that death benefit, or not the death benefit, but the cash value to buy, or what's the word I want?
Purchase. Yeah.
Well, purchase, buy.
Same thing.
Go ahead. And pay for the long-term care. So if they go into a nursing home, or if they need it for an emergency, they can apply towards those kind of costs.
Now, are you asking me, could he take that $31,000 and buy a long-term care policy? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying it can be applied towards buying a long-term care policy.
Okay, yes, because there are life insurance contracts now that have long-term care riders that this would qualify as a transfer with no taxable gain from a life contract to a life contract. And then that would have a long-term care rider. That is possible. But the other thing also is that he could also, if he doesn't have long-term care insurance, doesn't want to buy it, and there's a lot of people who don't, use that $31,000 to pay for care for a period of time. Now, you got to remember, if you apply for Medicaid, the Medicaid rules are that you cannot have more than $1,500 of cash value in any life contracts. So that $30,000 would have to be spent down before you could apply for Medicaid. No, this guy is not going to go to Medicaid. He got a lot of money.
But what you're saying is they can use it for their expenses.
They can use that cash value for the expenses, which would then obviously destroy the life contract because there would be no value to it and the death benefit would disappear. But there are some options. Obviously, you could take that money out and invest it in gold or silver or mutual funds or whatever. But then you got to be careful of the tax ramifications. That's always something people don't think about. Well, I just take my money out. Yeah, but wait a minute. Will you have tax ramifications?
What about borrowing that money out?
Borrowing would be the smartest thing to do because all then you need to do is pay back the interest and make a small payment on that thing to continue that contract. But now if you take that $31,000 out of the death benefit, let's do it again. If you take the $31,000 out, you now have taken $31,000 of the death benefit away also.
So I don't think people understand that particular situation.
So you're down to $20,000 of death benefit. Because that cash value is an integral part of the death benefit.
That is a hard concept to see.
That's a hard concept. Well, it's my money. Yeah, it's your money. You put it all. You put the bulk of it in there. You've got some growth. But that contract has a decreasing death benefit with an increasing cash. And really, it's something you have to draw out to explain.
So you can go ahead and you can actually take that money and transfer it to something else. Transfer it to another life insurance contract, correct?
Correct.
Can you transfer it to buying an annuity, which is put out by life insurance companies?
Yes, you can do that. You can go from a life insurance contract to annuity, but you cannot go from an annuity to a life insurance contract.
Oh, very good. So there is a difference there.
There is a difference. Now, the question is why? Well, because if you could go from an annuity to life insurance, you let that annuity build up dramatically and then transfer it to life insurance contract and then wipe away all the gains for tax purposes.
But if you transferred it from the life insurance to an annuity.
Right. All you're transferring is that $31,000.
Right. And then that can continue to grow, but it's growing under an annuity contract.
Right.
And there are different kinds of annuities you can use.
Umpteen different kinds of annuities. You can single premium, deferred, index, variable, whatever. Yes.
So there's different options that a person can have. And I think one thing that happens, people do not pay attention to the cash that's building within their contracts. And they kind of let it sit back there, just growing and forget about it.
It's in the drawer, and so we don't think about it.
Some people use it for an emergency fund.
Right. But there are some options for you. And, of course, you can always take that out as income, spread that over the next X number of years is income, just like an annuity. It works really the same way as an annuity. Let the company pay you, obviously $31,000 is going to pay you a large monthly income, but it is available.
Many, many older people have bought these whole life contracts, and they've had them for years and years and years. All they think about is, well, I have that in death benefit, and they forget that this is growing the cash inside of it, and all at once they have almost more cash
well,
than
they
do
have
the other.
They will have more cash. He's got quite a gain within his contract, which he hadn't thought about when he said, oh, it's going to take my money out. Wait, because you're going to have some taxable gains, and then that's going to make him squeal.
When we talk about life insurance, there's so many different options that are available to the person.
I'm not sure where you're going, Leah.
So many different kinds of life insurance.
So many different kinds of life insurance, yes. There was really only a couple when I started 40-plus years ago. God, I hate to even say how many years it was. You had term insurance, and you had a whole life, and that was all there was. But now they've got universal life, they've got index life, they've got single premium life, which we didn't have any of those kinds before.
And a single premium life contract is?
That's where you'd roll that $31,000 into a new contract and buy a single premium paid-up contract.
So you're not putting any more money in, you're just moving it from here to over here, and then you've got your life insurance coverage, but you won't have the cash value.
But you're eating up your cash value.
Correct.
Not necessarily. There are some that do have some cash value, depending on how you want to buy. You might buy a contract that's got $70,000 death benefit with most of the cash value with that $31,000. Or you could buy a $140,000 death benefit with no cash value.
See,
whatever the needs are.
There's always these little ifs or if.
Tell me what you want. I'll put it
you...
together for you. That's what we have today that we did not have 45 years ago.
We talk about the insurance side and how it's changed, along with the investment side and how it's changed. And believe me, both areas have changed a great deal.
Oh, dramatically.
And depending upon how long you've held that contract, the kind of insurance you've got, what that contract will give you, it's surprising how many different options you have.
And if you've got an old life, whole life contract or old participating whole life, you really need to look at that and see what you've got into it, because most people just they pay their premiums and they throw it in a drawer, and they really don't know how much the death benefit is and how much the cash value is, unless you really look at that statement that comes out yearly.
They can borrow against it.
They can borrow against it. They can take loans out of it. Or they can terminate the whole contract, take the money, and run down the road and pay your taxes.
But there are taxes to consider in any of these situations.
That's right. The only way to escape the taxes, the income tax, is by a death benefit. Death benefit always escapes the income tax. So no matter how much you put into that contract, you might make one payment and die. What a windfall for the family.
So, now, I'm going to bring something up here, and we've talked about this before, the beneficiary. We have a situation where a client is remarrying. His first wife is deceased, and he has not really looked at his contract for a long time. But because of the fact that he's getting remarried, he's now looking to see who the beneficiary is, and it was his deceased wife. In a case like that, he's going to have to change the beneficiary.
Got to change that beneficiary. And there's nothing more embarrassing to sit down with somebody and marry the wife and have look at the policy and say, oh, who's Betty? Oh, that was my first wife. And she just about falls off the chair. Thank you for being with us this morning on the Wise Money Show. Call us at 651-436-3997.
Or 651-365-5000.
Experience counts, now more than ever. When it's time to trust your finances to someone else, experience counts. And Lenander Financial Services are financial professionals who specialize in assisting people just like you with personal finance, investments, retirements, insurance, and long-term care planning. Call Garwin and Leanne Lenander at 651-436-3997. That's 651-436-3997. Lenander Financial Advisory. Experience counts.
Thank you for joining us this morning for Wise Money with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Join Gar and Leanne each Saturday morning at 11:45 for more of the Wise Money Show. Email your questions to Gar and Leanne, and the address is wisemoney@klbbradio.com. That's wisemoney@klbbradio.com. or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. Join us again next Saturday for the Wise Money Show with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial on Club 1220 KLBB.